Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your co-host, Rebecca LeCompte, and I am joined by my co-host, Cherie Zack, the beautiful, wonderful, intelligent, and just talented beyond belief, Cherie.
Good morning. Well, my head's getting big all of a sudden. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I am good. We are, you and I are so excited because God has given us, He has inspired us. I said in the club this morning, as I put the description for today's show, I said God has challenged us, but really challenge is the wrong word. He's inspired us, right, to look at marriages within the Bible and find out what it is that He wants to share with us. And we have already found so much that we got overwhelmed. And that was just starting with today's with today's focus.
Yes, it's true. Oh, my goodness. So we're super excited. And I am trying to multitask. Everybody knows when I'm trying to type and talk at the same time because it doesn't work.
It doesn't. You are so right. All right. So, do you want to give a little background, or do you want me to share a little background on the new series?
You do it.
All right. Well, we were inspired by. I was reading in. I was looking at David, and I was reading about David and Saul, and I had posted in on our fan page on Facebook a couple weeks ago about how important it is, how much importance there is in David and Saul's relationship and how that relates to God. Actually, I need to pull it up because now I can't remember exactly what I said. And I want to get it right because it's important. I should have had this ready ahead of time, Rebecca. Let me see. Here it is. Okay. Oh, gotta love Facebook. I had it, and then it disappeared. Okay, King David was a mess, but he found favor with God because God judged his repentant heart. Marriages are falling apart because we are nitpicking what we see on the outside and not looking at the heart. That got so many hits and questions and emails and comments. You know, we truly do that. We look at our husbands, we nitpick apart what they're doing, what they're saying, some of us how they dress, you know, and we can find so many reasons why we are not happy with them at that moment. And what we've got to realize is none of that matters, you know, that right. God wants us to look at their heart, right? And so right. You and I got to talking about this, and, you know, and I shared with you, I was like, yeah, I want to look into the different marriages, and it just steamrolled from there, sister, because you started talking about different marriages, and, I mean, instantly we thought of like five or six right away, and we started writing down our notes, what is God saying to us, and, you know, and we were in agreement on everything, and what we realized is there is so much within the marriages, the stories that the Bible shares with us that God wants us to learn from so that we can relate. You know, we can relate to these marriages, but we can learn from them as well. And hopefully not make as many mistakes, not make the same mistakes. Looking at their lives and learning from them will encourage us, right, and help us get through our seasons of hardship. It's just an incredible series that God is developing, and we're starting today with our foundation, Rebecca.
Yeah, we are. And what we were kind of, I don't know, impressed by, you know, not necessarily in a good way, but what we understood was that the marriages, for the most part, that the Bible describes, you know, aren't necessarily marriages that you would hold up as shining examples. Just 100%, like, we can't look at one and go, oh, yeah, that is a marriage that was absolutely just so right on in every aspect, that the Lord really showed us how these marriages were so imperfect, these imperfect people having imperfect marriages and yet being used by God for His purposes and His plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me hope, because I know how imperfect I am and how imperfect my marriage is. But God still uses it. And then it's, oh, okay. Not that it's an excuse to sin. We don't want anybody to misunderstand.
Right.
But it is reassuring that we don't have to feel condemned or ashamed because things aren't absolutely right. We just have to keep growing, keep trusting what the Lord has for us. There we go.
Amen. So, Rebecca, would you want to go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll jump right into 1 Samuel?
Absolutely. But first, I just want to say a little special hello to Felicia Houston, who is not in our chat room, but I can see her calling in. I recognize her phone number on our switchboard.
You want to bring her on live real quick?
Well, you know, that is up to you.
I just
felt like I needed to say good morning to her. I hope she's listening, really listening, and not driving somewhere.
Felicia, are you there?
She isn't.
Oh, she isn't. Okay. Well, we tried. Well, good morning.
Anyway, good morning. So,
good morning, Felicia.
You're hilarious, Sheree.
We love her.
Bring her on, ready or not.
All right, let's pray.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name. The Lord, we love you. We worship you and adore you. We give you glory and honor and praise because you are worthy. There is none like you, Lord, and we just adore you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that you have ordained for us to study your word. We thank you for the fellowship that we share through you and your son Jesus, who paid the price for our sins. Lord, we thank you that your word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it accomplishes your purposes in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us the way we are, that you are speaking to our hearts, you are molding us and shaping us and changing us to be more and more and more like Jesus. And Lord, we just surrender to you and say, yes, please change me. Change me, Lord, because I can't stay the same and do the things that you have called me to do. I can't be the wife that you've called me to be unless I'm more like Jesus. I can't be the mom or the friend, the neighbor, the minister without you. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. We thank you for that together, Lord. And, Lord, we just say, have your way with the rest of this time, Lord, that your word would come alive in our understanding, that we would see the things you want us to see, that we would hear your voice so clearly that we would know that you are intimately involved and that you wrote these stories not just as a historical record, but as lessons for us to learn from. Lord, that even when you're writing down the story of Saul, Lord, that you knew that we would learn from it. You knew that it would impact us. Lord, we thank you for it. We believe that we receive all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, before we delve right in, I want to say good morning to the chat room. Hi, ladies. We are so excited you're joining us this morning. Deborah and Holly. Holly Webb is in the chat room. Yay! Holly is one of my friends that used to be stationed here in Beaufort, South Carolina, and she is now up in North Carolina, and I miss her greatly. So I hope I didn't embarrass her. And Thelma and Miss Kim, of course. Kim is our moderator there in the chat room. So those of you that are in there, you can, if you have any questions, connect with Kim, and she'll make sure that you are taken care of, and we're excited to have you. All right.
All righty. First Samuel, if you've got your Bible, you should open it to First Samuel chapter 8, because that is where we're going to start. And Sheree, I have just absolutely loved reading this and studying this out and thinking about it. I know you have as well. This is a story that I think many of us are familiar with, the broad strokes. We've heard it talked about. We've heard it preached. Maybe we've even read it. But to come back to it fresh and with God's purposes for now, it's just so fun. I love that. I love how God's Word, it's always the same, and yet He can reveal new things to us without changing it. He just enlightens our understanding. And I need that. I so need that.
Right. Well, do we want to, we really want to set the foundation for this series with 1 Samuel chapter 8. Do you want to start us by reading?
I do, and actually I want to read it out of the Message.
Okay.
I don't know how many of you really like a good story. You know, I love a great story. I have been reading children's books to kids for over 20 years as a teacher, as a mom, as a Sunday school leader. I just love a good story. And when I started reading this, Sheree, the Message just really caught my heart. And so I think it just makes it very real for me, and I hope it does the same for our audience today. So this is the Message, 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel got to be an old man, he set his sons up as judges in Israel. His firstborn son was named Joel, the name of his second, Abijah. They were assigned duty in Beersheba, but his sons didn't take after him. They were out for what they could get for themselves, taking bribes, corrupting justice. Fed up, all the elders of Israel got together and confronted Samuel at Ramah. They presented their case. "Look, you're an old man, and your sons aren't following in your footsteps. Here's what we want you to do. Appoint a king to rule us, just like everybody else." When Samuel heard their demand, "Give us a king to rule us," he was crushed. "How awful." Samuel prayed to God. God answered Samuel, "Go ahead and do what they're asking. They are not rejecting you. They've rejected me as their king. From the day I brought them out of Egypt until this very day, they've been behaving like this, leaving me for other gods. And now they're doing it to you. So let them have their own way. But warn them of what they're in for. Tell them the way kings operate, just what they're likely to get from a king." So Samuel told them, delivered God's warning to the people who were asking him to give them a king. He said, "This is the way the kind of king you're talking about operates. He'll take your sons and make soldiers of them. Chariotry, cavalry, infantry, regimented in battalions and squadrons. He'll put some to forced labor on his farms, plowing and harvesting, and others to making weapons of war or chariots in which he can ride in luxury. He'll put your daughters to work as beauticians and waitresses and cooks. He'll conscript your best fields, vineyards, and orchards, and hand them over to his special friends. He'll tax your harvests and vintage to support his extensive bureaucracy, your prize workers and best animals he'll take for his own use. He'll lay a tax on your flocks, and you'll end up no better than slaves. The day will come when you will cry in desperation because of this king you so much want for yourselves. But don't expect God to answer." But the people wouldn't listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we will have a king to rule us. Then we'll be just like all the other nations. Our king will rule us and lead us and fight our battles." Samuel took in what they said and rehearsed it with God. God told Samuel, "Do what they say. Make them a king." Then Samuel dismissed the men of Israel. "Go home, each of you to your own city." So, there we have it. I mean, rejecting God as king. That's what they were doing. And God's so clear, Sheree, isn't he, there?
Yeah.
where he says, they've rejected me as king from the day I brought them out of Egypt until now. He's very clear about who they were and how they were not doing what they were supposed to do.
Hmm. You know, our first point says a wrong heart leads to wrong desires and takes you somewhere you don't want to be. I love that God spoke to Samuel's heart, and he shared with him, okay, this is what you're asking for. This is what you're going to get. Because what they were asking for, I guess they just couldn't see it because they cared more about being like everyone else. You know, and Samuel, he warned them, your sheep are going to be taxed. You know, you're going to be enslaved. And as those of us that have read through the Old Testament, there's so much, we see how much prophecy is in this for the Israelites, right? Because we know they ended up being enslaved. We know the history of the different kings that came into play and how it affected their lives greatly. It changed their world, in fact. But they would not listen. And, you know, the first thing that I noticed as we were reading through this was, and you already said it, they weren't rejecting Samuel, they were rejecting God. They were rejecting God. He wanted to be their king. Just as he wants to be Lord over our marriages, he wanted to be their king. His heart's desire was to be their king, to fulfill to fulfill their dreams, their desires, their wants, their needs. God wanted to be everything for them, and he was so patient with the Israelites, and yet they continually, over and over again, they continually rejected him. And, this isn't a part of what we're talking about, but I found it interesting that God wanted Samuel to know. It was important to God that Samuel understood that they weren't rejecting him. They were rejecting God.
Well, it's so true. And I think even the idea of Samuel's sons. Here is this man who, his whole life, if you remember, he is Hannah's son. He is that promised child who she consecrated to the Lord, at such an early age, and he was raised to be this prophet and function as a judge within the nation of Israel. And you know that he was doing the right thing. I mean, you can see that as you read through. There's a conversation later in 1 Samuel where he's talking to leaders, and he's going, but I've never done anything wrong. I've never done anything to hurt this nation. And so he's a man of integrity. And you know he's doing that behind the scenes in his home. Mm-hmm. And yet his own sons are not following the Lord. And that's just such a commentary on where the nation was as a whole, that their hearts were not after the Lord. But if you look also, there's no condemnation of Samuel in this, where his sons are concerned either. And, you know, Cherie, when I read that, I thought about the moms who feel like, oh, I haven't been a good parent because look at the choices my adult children are making. But here's Samuel, and you know, he was a man who loved the Lord and was doing what he was supposed to be doing, person of integrity, and you know, ultimately your children have their choices to make, and it was never held against him. The nation just wanted, they thought there would be a better way, and they wanted to figure that better way out for themselves instead of listening to what God said was the better way.
Well, you know, I'm reading from New King James, and when you look at verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the people refused. They just flat refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. I can't sit here and say I've not done that. I can't sit here and say that God has asked me to do something or God has warned me about something, and I've told him, no, I'm going to do it anyway. I get, you know, I think I'm my worst enemy, and I end up in a place I don't want to be. And I look back to that moment when God tried to counsel me and tell me, Sheree, don't do this. I have a better way. But, you know, I didn't want to trust his way because I didn't feel at the time, in all honesty, that God was going to do what I wanted him to do. Isn't that terrible? But it's the truth. Thankfully, I've grown. You know,
yeah.
I'm not in that same place, but I can't sit here and judge the Israelites because I'm not any different than they are. And it frustrates me when I hear people judge them. You know, people are so quick to judge the Israelites. And I'm like, wow, you know, can you see the plank in your own eye? And I guess maybe now I'm judging them, so maybe I'm not doing a good job at this. But, you know, we really need to see the grace in their lives. And apply that same grace to our marriages, because our husbands aren't perfect either, and they're making mistakes. But I'm overwhelmed in a negative. I'm impacted negatively when I read that, you know, that they refused. That's such a powerful word. They refused. That means they were steadfast in their in what they wanted, which wasn't the right way to go.
Right. Well, and one of the questions that you asked was, what or who is the king in your life? And maybe you're like us and you see that you have some things that are not right, areas in your heart where you don't have the right attitude, and you got something ahead of God. Ask yourself, ask the Lord, better yet, ask the Lord.
Yeah. Ah, Deborah Sewell says in the chat room, I know every time I have gotten myself into a mess, I can trace it back to a warning from friends and relatives. You know, Thelma, she's got she's using the little emoticon where the smiley face isn't a smiley face. He's got his arms crossed and he's saying no. We really, I mean, if we're honest, Rebecca, and Kim is saying we certainly can be a stiff-necked people, and you and I know, I love that word, stiff-necked. You and I talk about that often, you know, but if we're really honest with ourselves and really see how can we relate to Samuel? Let's look at both sides of it. We're looking at Samuel. He's a prophet, just as you had shared with us at the beginning of the show, and his life was ordained. He was set apart, right, for the purpose of God. That was his life. And so I think it's important that God tell Samuel they're not rejecting you. If Samuel thinks they're rejecting him, Rebecca, then he's not going to be able to share what God's told him to say, because his emotions are now involved. Well, they're rejecting me. I'm not going to share anymore. You know, it's an easy situation for Samuel to just shut down. But because God had prepared him and told him, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, he was able to express to them the warning that they needed to hear. But then you look at the Israelites, and they're hearing this warning, and it's a huge warning. How many warnings do we get in our marriage? How many times has God stepped in and said, don't say that. Don't respond to him that way.
Yes.
You know? Go
Put
ahead.
Put your hand over your mouth, woman.
Yes.
Walk away.
that spiritual pop. Because I get that spiritual pop. In fact, I said something the other day I shouldn't have said, and I could literally hear time stand still when I said it. And it was said in love, but I thought, oh, I probably should not have said that. And I honestly just kind of winced and just, you know, God, please let it be received in the way I mean it to. And I could hear time stand still. It was as if everything stopped at that moment. And Bill responded about 3 seconds later because I counted. And I didn't get the pop on the mouth. I thought I was going to, but God didn't do that because he judged my heart. But, you know, but I don't know, Rebecca. I really feel like it's important as wives that we glean from the Israelites and the choices that they've made.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that one of the things that stood out to us as well is when, you talked about, no, we will have a king to rule us. But the second part of that, then we'll be just like all the other nations. Now, listen, they could not possibly be like everybody else because they are God's chosen people. And that is the same for you. Whether you really get it or not, if you have given your life to the Lord, you are His. And no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be like everybody else. So you might as well just stop, because you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, you're going in a direction that isn't right from God's perspective. And, you know, one of the questions that we thought, you know, was how many times have you wanted your marriage to look like somebody else's marriage, maybe even a marriage that isn't founded on the Lord, but somehow seemed better than your own at the moment? I mean, I know that I have looked over the years. I've known some people who are not believers, and they have this, what appears to be on the surface, the public part of their relationship seems so great and just amazing. And you think, well, here they are. They're not serving God, and somehow they've figured it out, how to be nice to each other, how to get along. But the truth of the matter is, that's just like the veneer on it, you know, on a piece of furniture that looks like solid wood, but it's not. It's just the top layer is real, and it's really thin, and underneath it's just, you know, pressed together, little pieces of wood pressed together to make a board, and it's not really real. And so don't look at other people and judge your marriage by theirs. Look to God. But if you're like me and you've looked at other marriages, especially non-Christian marriages, remember this. This is what it says in Proverbs 24, verse 1. Do not envy the wicked and do not desire their company. Okay, and it goes on to talk about more. But don't ever hold up somebody who is not a believer and look at them and go, oh yeah, this is good, and we should strive for that. Your standard, because you are chosen, and you're not like everybody else, because God says that you're set apart. That your standard is God. What, Sheree?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about when Bill and I first got married, and I'll be honest, I did look at other marriages, and I kind of made a list and said, okay, this is what I want my marriage to look like, and, you know, I wasn't looking at men and women of God, I was looking at who was around me, because, you know, they were my frame of reference, so to speak, because I wasn't saved yet, and I didn't understand the importance, right, of having godly men and women in our lives. And you said something really powerful. We are set apart. We are set apart from the world and should never strive to be just like everyone else. And yet, you know, the old saying, grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. You know, we can see the negative on our own marriages and want what other people have. But what we don't understand is we can't see what's going on the inside. And we can ask, you know, just as Samuel was trying to tell the Israelites, if you have a king, this is what you're going to lose. I didn't see a single thing in there that was a gain. Did you?
No. No,
but
there
they couldn't see. No, and they could not see what was happening. I'm sorry.
No. And look at who it's affecting. It's not just affecting them. He talks about it's going to affect your sons. It's going to affect your daughters. It's
right.
It's not just you, it's the generations to follow you. The decisions and the choices that you make set the tone and set the path that your family is on. And whether that is your biological kids or the people that God brings into your life for you to mentor and disciple, because we know that some of you who are listening do not have biological children, but God is using you to bring up sons and daughters in Him. And what you do affects them. And so you have a responsibility, not just to yourself and not just because it's right for you to obey God, but because you are a person of influence in the lives of others.
Right. You know, one time I was younger in my walk, and I would look at magazines and I would see these beautiful women, and all of a sudden my green eyes aren't good enough. I have beautiful green eyes, but they weren't good enough anymore. and my pretty brown hair wasn't good enough anymore. And the way my body looked wasn't good enough anymore. And I mean, this is an honest, this is a, you know, I'm being honest. And what I was doing was I was looking at others and wishing that I look like them, because if I had blue eyes, people would like me more. If I had blonde hair, I would have more friends. If I was skinny, you know, with curves, then I would attract more people. And what I didn't understand was, you know, though I wasn't saved yet, I was set apart. How could I understand that? And so I had a friend that was a good friend of mine, and I had asked a few times, you know, God, I'd really wish I looked like her. I wish I had her body, you know. And one day the Lord stopped me, and he said, do you really want that? Is that truly what you want? And I was like, yes, Lord. And this is after I had come to salvation. And he said, Sheree, do you have any idea what's going on inside her body, and yet you're asking for her body? That impacted me. It marked me at that moment. You know, I mean, it didn't mark me. God marked that moment for me. And I realized, you know what? She may have cancer. Praying that she doesn't. I'm just using that as a for instance. You know, she could be dealing with an intestinal issue that there's no cure for. I truly had no idea what was going on inside her body, and yet I was asking for her body. The issue is I wasn't just going to get her body. I was going to get everything that came with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and that's how
absolutely.
I relate. That's how I'm relating to the Israelites. You know, they're seeing the other kingdoms, and they want what the other kingdoms have because they think, you know, they weren't the first kingdom. There were others. There were other kings. And that was their frame of reference. But they weren't seeing what was happening on the inside. So here's Samuel. And Samuel is bold, and he's telling them, this is what you're asking for.
Yeah.
You know? And they were like, we don't care. We don't care. They couldn't see past their flesh. They couldn't see past their pride. They couldn't see past what they wanted. So basically, they didn't have ears to hear.
Right. Right. And Sheree, one of the things that we are aware of is that many of our listeners are not even married yet, that you are wanting to grow and learn and position yourselves so that you are at a place where you're ready for marriage when God's timing comes. Well, maybe you're one of those women, and maybe you're thinking that you've found somebody that you might want to marry, but maybe deep down inside in your heart of hearts, you suspect that this guy that maybe you're engaged to or you're dating, you know, he isn't really the one that God has for you. There's something that's just off about him or your relationship. But you really want to be married because the world seems like it's made for couples and not for singles. But you know what? It is time for you to stop and get alone with God. And it's, you know, seek him. What does he want you to do? What does he have for you? And if he tells you no, that this is not the man that he has for you, that this is not a relationship that is going to be good for you, then you need to call things off, and you need to trust the Lord, because it is so much better to be single and be in God's will than to be like the nation of Israel and say, no, I want to be like everybody else. I want a husband, you know. I want a husband. I mean, the pressure is on. I mean, everywhere you turn, you know, it's commercials and shows and magazines, you know, it's all about that relationship. And, you know, you've got to make sure that only God is sitting on the throne of your heart. Not even that it might be another person, but it's the idea of being part of a couple, part, you know, the idea of being married. Marriage shouldn't be on the throne of your heart. God should be. And I want to encourage our listener, Sheree, with these verses. This is from Psalm 37, starting in verse 3, and I think I'm going to read through verse 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. if you I just feel encouraged, you know, about the things that I'm trusting the Lord for when I read that, Sheree, that mm-hmm. I just need to trust Him and let Him take care of me, because He can do it so much better than I could do it myself, because He knows exactly what I really need. I think I know what I need, but God really knows.
Trust in the Lord. I think that, you know, if you relate that back to the Israelites and the foundation of this story, they weren't trusting God.
No, they weren't. And we really have to examine ourselves. We really have to examine ourselves. And that isn't comfortable. That isn't comfortable at all, because, you know, we're like little kids. We want what we want when we want it. And it's a fearful yeah. thing to go before the Lord and really put that, whatever that desire is, whatever that thing is that isn't right, on the altar. You know, we know the Lord's already been speaking to us, and we're sort of like the kids who put our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear you.
Wow, what a visual. That's so true. It's so true. We do that. Or we just turn aside, as the Bible says the Israelites did. They turned aside. They turned away. You know, yeah. So we turn away. We think we know something. We know nothing. But when you look at it, how does the chapter end? You know, God tells Samuel, give them what they ask for. You're asking for something. God has given you a warning. He's telling you not to do it. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's dealing with, you know, debt. And you're... there's something going on, and the need is pressing so heavy on you, and so heavy, in fact, that becomes louder than God. And, you know, we asked the question a few minutes ago, what is king in your life? What is the king, you know, what does King Saul represent in your life? What is it that you're not trusting God for and, you know, giving to Him? And as you think about it, write down that first thing that leaps at you. Don't brush it off. Don't say, that's not it. I took care of that. You know, listen to the Holy Spirit, because He's our counselor and He wants to guide us and teach us. So as you ask yourself this question, what is king in my life? The first thing that pops up, write it down and then submit it to God and ask God to show you how to make Him king in your life instead of that. And if it is a financial issue and it's a mistake you've already made, then, you know, be brave and courageous and ask God, Lord, show me how to help me take care of this. Ask for forgiveness for not letting Him, you know, be the one that was in charge of that. And then ask Him, Lord, provide a way for this to be taken care of. And I'm using finances because really that's an easy one. For some reason, I can't really think of anything else, but I know, Rebecca, there's lots of different things. Yeah. Maybe there's an emotional relationship that someone that is listening that you've allowed to begin, you know, that's outside of your marriage, and God gave you warnings and told you don't do that. But you could rationalize why that relationship was important, and you could see how it would meet a need that you have, not recognizing that, you know, that's a huge warning sign. Maybe one of our listeners is dealing with that. You know, the King Saul can represent so many different things in our marriage. And if we have a King Saul in our marriage, we seriously need to remove it as quickly as possible. Submit it to God, as James 4:7 says. Submit that area to God and trust Him that He's going to take care of it. And maybe some of those King Sauls, Rebecca, are scary. Now that we're in it, we've made the mistake, and we're having to walk it out. Maybe we're scared to death, and we're at a place where we truly have to trust God. I pray that, you know, that we get there less and less as we grow in God's Word and in our understanding. But it's really, truly important as we start this series that you start it right. Let's deal with those King Sauls and give God an opportunity to minister to us in those areas. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, let's talk about King, you know, Saul, because he wasn't king at first. Mm-hmm. And, I want to encourage our listeners to read. Go into 1 Samuel, and you can start in chapter 9. And, you know, you'll be like we were, and where you can't stop. You just want to read more and more and see how it goes and what happens and all the details of it. But I want to give us a little bit of a synopsis of Saul, he was, God picked him for this position. And God picked him, you know, for some specific reasons, which I think are pretty interesting, Sheree, that, you know, here he is, he's just, he was called handsome, and in the message it says there was none finer. He literally stood head and shoulders above the crowd. So there he is. He looks wonderful on the outside. And in the beginning, I think that he was okay, because if you look in chapter 9, as we get down, he really kind of gets who he is. You know, he says, I'm only a Benjaminite from the smallest of Israel's tribes and from the most insignificant clan in the tribe of Dan. Why are you talking to me like this? He's talking to Samuel because Samuel has said to him that at this moment, Israel's future is in your hands. See, God ordains the situation where Saul gets into Samuel's realm, you know, he ends up in his town, and God's talking to Samuel and says, this is the one. This is the one that I've sent to you, and that you're going to anoint him as prince over my people Israel. He will free my people from Philistine oppression. And I'm quoting from the message. And so God has a plan for him, and at first Saul gets it. He says, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Literally, I'm nobody. And Samuel gives him all of these signs. You know, here he had come in and he was expecting to pay Samuel for information about the donkeys, the missing donkeys that he was looking for. But instead, Samuel hosts him and the man that's with him as, you know, for a dinner. And then Samuel gives him the information about the donkeys before Saul even mentions the donkeys. So Saul's got to be wondering what's going on. And and there he is in this situation. And then after the dinner, where he's been given these choice this choice piece of meat, and he's told that it's saved just for him, Samuel takes him back to his house and says, here, I've got a bed prepared for you, and you get to sleep up on the roof, which was a great place in those days because you were out in the fresh air, so you weren't in the house where it was hot. So he's given him a great place. And then that next morning, he starts to tell Saul what God is going to do, and he starts to prophesy, and he tells him, you know, three different things in chapter 10 that are going to be signs, and those all come to pass. So Saul's got to be like, Wow. Something's really going on, but he still doesn't tell anybody, Sheree, what's going on. And then, you know, because God's plan for Israel is good. You know, he says that you're going to deliver my people, Israel, from the hand of the Philistines. You know, he's going to govern my people. He's got a good plan. But Saul is still, he's scared. He's really, you start to see that Saul is really insecure. And that just continues throughout his life. As you read through 1 Samuel, you can see all of the insecurities, all the times that rises up. And eventually, Saul's ultimate demise is in 1 Samuel 15. And he gives way to the demands of the people, the pressure, the peer pressure, where they want him to do something because Samuel didn't show up at the time that they thought he would show up. And Samuel, and I'm sure it was God, I'm sure God orchestrated and ordained all of these things. And Saul, he gave that offering that he shouldn't have. And it was because of the peer pressure. It was because of the insecurity. And he says this in 1 Samuel 15, and this is from the message. He says, I've sinned. I've trampled roughshod over God's words and your instructions. I cared more about pleasing the people. I let them tell me what to do. Oh, absolve me of my sin. And he tells Samuel, take my hand and lead me to the altar so I can worship God. He realizes what he's done. But it's too late. But it's too late. But God, it's just so interesting to me, Cherie, that mm-hmm. there he is.
Yeah.
And he's in this place. And God has shown him and encouraged him and given him signs that this is what he wants to do. But because his heart wasn't right toward the Lord, and because he cared more about his insecurities and he cared more about the people pleasing than he did about the Lord, he made wrong decisions.
Yeah, I can think of, I'm sitting here thinking of so many women that we have come across, that we've met, and that God has called. There's a powerful anointing on their lives. But they are so insecure that they're scared, literally, to walk out that calling. And, you know, and it really can cause you to fall. But we have hope. There is a story of hope in all of this. If you're relating to Saul right now, and, you know, and we see in Saul's story that when Saul finally does come to realize the choices that he had made, it was too late for him, but it's not too late for you because we have Jesus Christ.
Right.
And because of Jesus, because of the cost he paid on the cross, every time we sin, that cost has already been covered. And it was covered the day that he died on the cross. We have hope. It's never too late for us, unless we can no longer breathe. You know, and we're standing before God. It is not too late for us. And we can make things right. We can stand in front of God and bear our hearts before him and share the choices that we've made, and trust him. Trust him. And I know that's so hard for some of you. I can feel it through the phone lines, Rebecca. I can feel hearts all of a sudden beating so fast, and they're like, no, I've just got to keep it covered. I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep it covered. I can take care of it. I can pay it off. I can do this. I can do that. I can end the relationship. You need God's help. You need God's help. Rebecca and I are not sitting here and telling you that we've got it all right. And we're not telling you we're perfect. We're telling you from two very honest and transparent wives that we understand right where you're at, because we've made the same mistakes in our marriages and in our personal walk, period. But if your heart's beating out of control, that's a warning sign. But know that you can trust God and you can lay down these things before him. And though sometimes there is retribution, because once you've started something, you can't stop it. There is going to be residual effects, but you can stop the residual effects now from getting any worse. You know, you can stop it now. And we want you to do that. We want you to have the courage to stand up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I love that Saul, you know, it was Saul needed help to get to the altar, Rebecca.
Yeah.
What does that tell us?
Oh, we need it. We need help. We can't do it alone. Need each other. We need each other to come alongside and to help us to get right with God. And that doesn't, I mean, and the word says, you know, confess your sins one to another, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make you weak. And it doesn't, you know, if that person judges you, the person that you go to and you're accountable to, if they judge you, that's their problem. That is not your problem. That's between them and God. They're going to have to answer to that for that.
They're going to have to, right.
But you need to find somebody that you think is trustworthy. If you're really struggling with something, if you're struggling with insecurity, if you're struggling with being a people pleaser, whatever it is that is really keeping you from where you need to be with the Lord, get somebody to go with you before God and help you. And, you know, I want to share something. I didn't plan to share this today. But, you know, Cherie and I have our lives. We have our own personal relationships with the Lord. We have our own histories, the things that we deal with, the things that God is healing in our hearts, just like you. We're no different. We really are no different. And the Lord has been bringing up some things for me that I thought were really, you know, taken care of, that I felt like were just done. And it's like that onion, you know, peeling back the layers of the onion, and God showed me a new layer just this past week. But he told me it wasn't time to pray yet on the first day that he showed it to me. And he said, you need to study. You need to get in my word. You need to let me give you some knowledge so that you understand how to pray and what to pray for. And so I started studying, and I started seeking him, you know, really diligently, very focused and intense in this area, because I could sense that it was a big deal. And so days of studying and praying and seeking, not praying for freedom, but praying for wisdom. And I got to the point where it was like every couple of hours, the Lord was drawing me back into communication with him, targeted in this area. And finally he said, okay, now is the time. But instead of me coming up and being alone, you know, I pray in our bedroom most of the time. When I really need to be in my secret place, it's up here in my bedroom. And he said, you need to get Robert to pray with you and for you, and you don't need to do this by yourself. And I was like, well, okay. And so I did. And he prayed, and I had to explain everything to him that the Lord had taught me and shown me over the past few days. And he prayed for me, and what a breakthrough that I had. What a lifting. And he continued, actually, after that prayer to show me new things and to give me even more freedom in this area. And it was some things that had been done to me, some hurts that had been inflicted by somebody else. And it was just such a blessing and a level of freedom and just a feeling of lightness, just like a burden had been lifted off of me. And just so tremendous. So if you are feeling that the Lord is drawing you to give something up, to turn something over to him, to just seek him for freedom, do it. Because he's not in it to wound you. He's in it to help you, to love you, to show you more and more of who he is and what he wants to do in you and through you.
There's so much, you know, there's so many. I love that you use the onion peel, because there truly are so many layers to this story, and we have so many more to get to, which we're not going to get to today, obviously. Next week we're going to talk about David, King David, and who he was before he became king, and we're going to pull out the areas that are really resonating with us, and that you know, that we can see that God wants us to learn from and apply to our marriages. There's so much. The story of King David and Bathsheba, and then we're gonna take you through the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and there's some things in there that we found that we didn't see before until we started studying their lives. And then, of course, you know, Boaz and Ruth. What can we learn from their story? And then there's Esther. You know, Queen Esther and Xerxes, and there's just so many wonderful stories that have truths that God wants us to discover. Some things that you probably already know, and then some areas where God wants to lift those layers and take you deeper, because, you know, he truly wants us to walk victoriously, and he wants us to walk with our focus on him. We need a king. We do. But his name is God. His name is Alpha and Omega. You know, you think about the many names of God, Rebecca. He is the beginning and the end. You know, we think that we are in control of so much, and we honestly are not. And do we want to be in control? I don't. There's times I do, and every time I want to be in control, I find myself in a big mess. And that's honest. A big old mess whenever I think I'm in control. Because just like with the Israelites, God will say, okay, this is what you want, then you're going to have it, but you're also going to have everything that comes with it. Because it's just like me wanting the body of my friend because I thought she looked so much better than I did. I couldn't just receive her body. I had to have everything that came with it. The Israelites, they couldn't just receive a king Rebecca. They had to have everything that came with that. And you know, when you have a leader over you that is not healthy, you're not going to be healthy. God is healthy. Yeah. God is righteous. He is righteousness. He doesn't make mistakes. Why would we want to choose a man over our Heavenly Father? Why would we want to choose to go into debt? You know, why do we want to choose to add a relationship outside of our marriage? Why do we make these choices? And yet we still make them. The warning signs are there, just as they were with the Israelites. God has spoken just as plainly to you and I as he did the Israelites. And yet we still choose what we want. We want what we want, right?
Yes.
So we are praying. Rebecca and I are praying that as you're listening, you know, that you're getting this. And whatever it is the Holy Spirit is saying to you, please take heed and listen, because his heart is for you. His plan is good. You know, so many of us know that scripture so well, but do we believe it? His plan for the Israelites was good. It was, and it still is good today, because they didn't go anywhere. They're still here, just like we are. You know, but are we going to choose God, or are we going to set an earthly king over us? And I love how God is shaping up the series, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Because he deals with issues right off the bat. He makes us take an honest look at ourselves right off the bat, right at the beginning. There are things he wants to deal with from the beginning. Because what I'm realizing for me, and you know, you and I haven't talked about this yet, but what I'm seeing for myself is, if I don't have these things that he's revealing to me as we're going through this study, if I don't get them taken care of, everything else that he has for me, I'm not going to quite get. I'm not going to be able to fully understand it, fully receive it, because, you know, this foundation needs to be built on a rock. It needs to be built on Christ.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, Sheree, I just am so excited about what God is doing. And I want to encourage you, listener, to get into 1 Samuel. You can read chapters 8 through 15. You'll be surprised at what a page-turner it is. It's really a good story. And the Lord is going to show you all sorts of things. There were things that we've left out in the interest of time. You know, things that God will speak to your heart and highlight to you as you read through that. But it just is amazing. Mm. Just amazing to see how God works it all out. All together.
Yeah, we're sure that God is some. You've had a friend or two that has leaped in your spirit as you've been listening. We want to encourage you to share the link to this show with them. Post it through email, however you want to get it to them, but share the link with them, and then share why you're sharing this. Not because you're condemning, not because you're coming in trying to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but because you want to encourage them. If you've been encouraged as you've read through Samuel and the beginning of Saul's story with us this morning, and the things that God has put on our heart to share, if that's encouraged you, then we want to encourage you to pay it forward. Share it with someone else and encourage them. And, you know, because there's a message here that God wants all of us to get. And I'm sure that it's a little different for each of us because we're all so different. But it's, you know, the Holy Spirit is so powerful in what he wants to say. We are also, as we're coming to a close, we hate closing, but we don't have a choice. We are updating our website. So if you haven't been to our website in a while, you can join us at theimperfectwives.com. And we have got two resources that are about to go live. We're really excited about them. The first one is our book, our first book, The 16-Day Love Challenge. And it's a challenge that's going to walk you through love is patient, love is kind. And what we're talking about is Rebecca and I are very honest and transparent about our personal walks with God and others. And, you know, basically it's matching up our words and actions with these scriptures. And it's not always an easy walk. We've already taken two groups through it, and both of them were like, at moments. But it's worth going through this study. So we're going to have that available on Kindle and also as a PDF download. And then we've also got a study that we've been working on with our ladies, and that is Proverbs 31. And this study teaches you how to hear God's voice. So those are going to be available very, 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 very soon. within the next month. And there's also some other new things on the site, so we hope to see you there. And if you've enjoyed the show today, make sure that you follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll receive an email in your email account letting you know 1 hour before the show that it's going to start, and it includes the link and the description so that you can join us. So until next week, everyone have an incredible week. Read 1 Samuel and be ready to meet with us this time next Tuesday. All right? Yep. Bye.
Bye.